you're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Welcome to this podcast and thank you for listening. I'm John Bates. My guest today is Sir Peter Kendall. Peter is chairman of the Agricultural Productivity Working Group, and they are the authors of a report for the Food and Drink Sector Council. That report is titled Productivity, the Key to Unlocking Future Opportunities in Agriculture. Now, just to get listeners up to speed, the report, which runs to some 50 pages, is helpfully condensed into a 4.5-page executive summary. And the report is shaped by a broad spectrum of stakeholders and experts from across the industry. The report highlights why agriculture's rate of productivity growth is lower than many of its major competitors. This could, according to the Productivity Working Group, leave the sector in danger of being left behind by competitors, denying consumers and the UK domestic food industry affordable, sustainably produced agricultural goods. Peter, I imagine the report is going to be tough reading for some farmers, don't you think?
Hi, John. Yeah, I think what I'd recommend to farmers is there's a very brief and punchy exec summary. It runs to about just 4.5 pages. It covers the 5 key areas of our recommendations. I'm really honestly not expecting farmers to troll through 50 pages of the whole report, executive summary, and then dive into any specific areas people might find they're interested in. But it has taken a lot of time to try and, you know, with a lot of working groups submitting their ideas, to distill a lot of work into, as you say, quite a long, lengthy piece of work. But I think the exec summary really does capture the essence of what we're recommending.
Okay, so this is very clearly a serious matter. How do you think the industry should respond to the challenges that are ahead?
Look, I think the scale of the challenges, and I've been doing a number of meetings around the country recently, trying to explain to people that when you look at, I think, the media coverage, the public debate about climate change, the really bold ambition of the National Farmers Union to call to be net zero in the farming sector by 2040. When you then couple that with what I refer to as the next agricultural revolution, a digital agricultural revolution of the 21st century, that is going to, I think, transform the way we operate, what we're able to do with precision application with genetics. And when you link that with the climate change challenge, this is going to be a seismic shift in how we operate. That's also at a time we've left the European Union. We know that the transition period ends at the end of 21, and a new agricultural support system based on public money for public goods is going to come in. The phasing out of what we've known as the BPS payments will disappear. So this is a absolutely transformational period for farming. So if we don't gear ourselves up to prepare ourselves for being really at the cutting edge of global agriculture, we will, as you've said in the introduction, lose ground on the rest of the world, on our competitors. The key point that we've been looking at up to now, without looking at the challenges that are coming down the road towards us, is that actually we've seen ourselves, our agricultural productivity, growing at about a third of some of our key competitors. You'll see the United States, the Netherlands, growing at over 3% a year in their productivity growth. Ours has been under 1. Well, people say, well, we started off ahead of them and it's slightly different for us. But the truth is, if we do want to compete, if we want to keep products out of our market or do better than those other countries in overseas export markets, over a 10-year period, that could be as much as a 25% difference in our efficiency of production. So this is massively important that we do grasp the opportunities and we pull together a really, I think, broad spectrum group of people from financial, so that the agrochemical world, the scientific world, the education establishments of farming, policy groups, the stakeholder membership organizations, to really distill down what other countries are doing better than us, where we thought there were gaps in our production. And this is what is concluded in this rather lengthy report.
Many farmers, I would imagine, are going to say, look, we're already working at capacity. We're being as productive as we can be. Isn't that what they'd say?
I think there's a number of strange words. Capacity, actually, I don't want to work harder and harder. On my farm, I want to probably target the things that give me my best return. And I think one of the key areas for this is we all do as farmers. We work incredibly long hours. We find it very difficult to stand back from our businesses and see where perhaps our performance is slightly out of kilter with other of our fellow farmers. We don't stand back and look at what the best performing 10 or 25% of the industry are doing. I know from my experience, and yes, we're a relatively large arable farm in East Anglia. I sit with my brother and we spend most of lots of our time thinking, what can we do better? Where can we save costs? Is there a change of system that can give us a better return? Can we look at integrating farming systems in a smarter way? So yes, there's lots of farmers working flat out, but what we really do want to encourage is people step back, look at what other systems, other farmers are doing, and see whether we can improve. Because all the evidence is that there is a big yawning gap between the top performing farmers and the average farmers. Sometimes that does come down to location, it does come down to extreme weather events, but a lot of it comes down to systems they're adopting, sometimes down to the training the farmers had. Availability of capital can be an issue as well to invest. But what I really would say to farmers, and I know this is a really tough message, is to assume we're always doing the best we can, I don't think serves us well, particularly when you look at that massive challenge that's hurtling towards us with the desire to be net zero, with the withdrawal of big chunks of support, with that digital revolution. So looking at these areas where we can, I think, learn to measure better, analyse what we're doing, our performance, and then look at our skills that we can adopt on farm. And the other critical recommendation we've highlighted is trying to develop this evidence of farming where people can then go and see, where do I get the best latest practice from? What can reassure me that the decisions I'm taking are moving in that right, more productive direction?
You made a reference a little bit earlier to the payment methods that farmers are going to see in the future. Where's government thinking in all of this?
Well, one of the reasons for the whole Food and Drink Sector Council developing an agricultural productivity working group is the government has created, when it had its last reorganisation in Whitehall, the Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy Department, BASE. Now, the industrial strategy is all about addressing the UK's, although many people describe it as its number one challenge, its stagnant productivity, its slow growth of productivity. And this goes across wide chunks of the economy, from manufacturing, but also, as I've already touched on, highlighted around agriculture as well. So government is making a big priority of addressing the productivity challenge in farming. I think it's really critical that farmers are brave about this. We say that actually we're not perfect. We can learn from other people. And when you look at those numbers, I think there are two things for me that's critical. That we acknowledge that we have a productivity challenge, and then collectively as an industry, we turn around and say, yes, we're ambitious to try and do something about it. We're not going to hold our hands up and say we're doing the best we can. We can't change any of our practices. Because government recognises it's probably got to evolve, develop policy that can help us address this. And I think also a really important message I'd make is this is not just about productivity and to hell with the environment. We need sustainable productivity growth. So I think we need to keep measuring the impact we have on the environment, because we know we want to. It's not about producing more, about being more efficient. But if we are being more efficient, we mustn't be damaging the environment as well. And that joined up message really resonates with government. We've obviously got a new Secretary of State in George Eustace, who's got a long history of working in DEFRA. But the productivity challenge is one that's not just for DEFRA. It goes right across government. It's not just agriculture, but this report really does focus on the challenges for our sector, which is British agriculture.
So a litmus test probably for the practicalities that are contained and the recommendations that are contained within this report, I would imagine the NFU would be quite a critical audience in all of this. Where are the NFU sitting with this report?
Well, the NFU, the CLA, they've been involved in the working groups. They've made sure that we've discussed big areas of this report with their professional teams, with their elected office holders as well. And what I think, to me, is encouraging, this is a collective effort, this report. And one of the key recommendations, because I think not me personally, but a lot of us see agriculture evolving quite dramatically from, obviously, in my arable sector, a chemical-based to a systems biological future. Where do we get that independent assurance of new practices, of different ways of working? And NFU has called for this evidence for farming. It's based on the government's What Works Centres to try and verify, to try and give confidence in new best practice as we change the way we farm. So the fact that the NFU has been such a big champion of this evidence for farming, what works types concept, they've been very involved. So one of the main five recommendations is something they've been championing for some time, so delighted that's involved. I know the CLA have been very keen on how we look at skills and developing professional accreditation for our industry as well. So this is not just a group of boffins or a few has-beens like me, you know, standing back and criticising the industry. This is involved, the key industry bodies right across the board at every point. It's not going to please everybody. There are some tough messages in there, but I'm hopefully that because we've worked so widely and collaboratively, we've got consensus on those five key areas that we're pushing.
Peter, with a slightly different hat on, you're chairman of the board overseeing AHDB. What role do you see for AHDB, if any, in this?
We know there's a review of AHDB concluding that the government's got some reports to put out about our future. And I stand down in a few weeks' time for my role as chairing AHDB after 6 years. Look, I think there's a massive role for AHDB. I'm not in that inferring the size or the reach of AHDB. But when I look at the challenges around how we start to collate and gather data, I think that's a role for an independent farmer-funded levy to help do that. I think around the skills programme, there's a big role. But, you know, if there's an evolution now, as AHDB evolves, there are a number of people in our productivity working group who think the natural home for an evidence for farming would sit within AHDB. That hasn't been decided yet. That would have to be a discussion, again, with key stakeholders and with government. But there are some strong recommendations from independent people, not me, with a prejudiced view, if you like, but other people saying AHDB would be a natural home. It is independent. That's our whole ethos, is we're not peddling one person's science over another's. It is independently assessed evidence that we try and produce. Holding maybe a professional base for skills would be another sensible role, as well as collecting data, which would help, I hope, farmers measure and see their performance relative to one another. I know from my experience in life that farmers are quietly quite competitive, and if we can see where other people are stealing a march on us, that gets us quite excited. We want to find new ways of doing things. We'd want to have our farm, you know, performing at the very best. So hopefully the AHDB can play a big role in that. But also as well, once we do look at ways of changing, facilitating farmers coming together, farmer-to-farmer lending, and it needn't just be AHDB, it could be other groups doing that. But AHDB's got a great network of monitor farms, of strategic farms, and that to me would be another avenue for helping farmers who see this period of rapid change as being a bit threatening and a bit scary, to say, actually, if I go to that group, I can talk about this with fellow farmers who are experiencing the same emotions, the same uncertainty. And I see those farmer-to-farmer groups being a great help, even for farmers who are doing really well, getting together to find how other people are squeezing a little bit more out of their system helps us, particularly at a time of such unbelievable and dramatic change.
Peter, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. You've been listening to Peter Kendall, Chairman of the Agriculture Productivity Working Group, and his views on farming in the future, as well as some of the findings within the latest report produced for the Food and Drink Sector Council. You can read the report by visiting the Food and Drink Sector Council website, via your browser, or the executive summary is available at the AHDB website. That's ahdb.org.uk. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.
The AHDB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.